Well, how's your vision? Be my vision. That was it. Unplanned from the Lord. But that was it. Be thou my vision. Think about that. Asking God, God, be my vision. We've just talked about not living by sight, but living by faith. Living by Him before us, the living Lord Jesus Christ, and just saying, Lord, you be my vision. You step out ahead of me. I just want to follow you. I'll go where you go. Be my vision. I don't want to depend on these eyes. I don't want to depend on my logic. I want to depend on you. Lead me, Lord. Be thou my vision. That's what we need to do. We need to, Jesus needs to be the lenses that we look through. He needs to be the lenses of the glasses that we look through. Sandra's got her glasses now. But that's the perfect picture. If you can imagine putting on Jesus' glasses, that's how we need to live. Through the lens of Jesus, everything we look at, everything we do, wherever we go, if you can imagine wearing some glasses, but seeing through the lenses of Jesus. That's God's call for us. We know it from Romans 12, or Hebrews 12, excuse me, where we're told, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the goal. It's the goal of the Christian life. Pray with me. Lord, help us right now, Lord, not to live by sight. We're accustomed to that. We're used to that. That's the world's way. It comes natural to us. But Lord, you tell us not to do it. You tell us to live by faith. Lord, teach us tonight. We want to learn. We want to know. We want to do it. Lord, we're tired of hearing that command, live by faith and not by sight. We want to put it into action and diligently do it from now on. Lord, help us to live with our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, seeing through the lens of Jesus all day, every day. And when we stop, Lord, remind us by your Spirit and let's live by faith again. Help us. Speak to us about it through your word, Lord. Get me out of the way. We need to hear your voice, Lord, so that you may change our hearts and help us be who you want us to be and do what you want us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 9. And we'll look at Jesus. Restoring the sight of a man born blind. And then the Pharisees investigating the healing. And then Jesus talks about spiritual blindness toward the end of the chapter. Let's read it together. John chapter 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They demanded. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. It would be a Sabbath. They're always trying to get him on the Sabbath. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Amen. Those are some pretty firm words at the end there of Jesus. I wouldn't want to hear him saying that. I'd want to quickly get on board with him right then. Well, how's your vision? Here's a few things that I want us to gather tonight from this passage. These statements, and here's the beginning. If I'll keep my eyes on Jesus, here's what'll happen. If I'll keep my eyes on Jesus, I need to, as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I'll work while I can. That's the first thing. I'll work while I can. If you notice, in verse 3, Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Sometimes people are prone to do that. Sometimes if we're not careful, we're prone to do that. Have you ever had that thought? The disciples did, obviously, right here. Well, you know, this man was born blind. Well, he did something wrong. What happened? He was wrong, or his parents were wrong. Who sinned here? Who caused this? But Jesus' answer was, this wasn't a result of sin at all. This happened so that the work of God would be able to take place. Well, does tragedy ever strike in your life? Does tragedy happen? Well, sometimes people tend to have that thought. Sometimes if something bad happens to me, maybe I say, well, what did I do? Did I sin? Did I mess up? Where did I go wrong? Or sometimes you may look at somebody else and see the lot in their life. You may say, oh, you know, they must not have been living for the Lord. But Jesus dismisses that thinking right here. And he says that, no, sin is not what caused this in any way. And we need to be aware of that tragedy and trials and things happen not as a result of sin. Now, of course, sometimes there's the flip side, and sometimes God is disciplining us. Sometimes something happens, we get off the path, and we need to be pulled back on. But in this case, no one had sinned. It was so that the work of God could be displayed. And then in verse 4, we see that we need to work while we still can. In verse 4, Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's an urgency that we only have a certain amount of time, and we don't know how much time we have. But Jesus is saying that we need to be doing God's work. We need to be doing this work as long as it's today, as long as we have breath, as long as we're able, that it's urgent, that we need to be doing his work. We need to be doing the work of God, the work of him who sent Jesus. And so, first of all, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we need to work while we can, do his will while we can. We're not promised tomorrow. Secondly, we need to step and see. We need to step and see. In verse 6, something stood out to me that I wanted to share with you. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and he did this, and of course he was healed. Well, that was the way that Jesus healed this blind man. Now, there's a number of other blind men in the Bible, and Jesus healed them in different ways. Sometimes he touched one. He would touch another one twice. You remember the one man that was healed to an extent, but then everything looked like trees. People looked like trees, and then Jesus touched him again, and then he got his full sight. Well, Jesus can heal any way he chooses. He can do it however he wants. And my experience with Jesus in my life may be a little different than how he's worked in your life. He may have done something in my life in a unique way. And then he might do something else in another Christian's life in another unique way. But he still did the healing. He's still Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one body of Christ. But yet sometimes Jesus, our experiences with Jesus are a little bit different. And I've heard a funny, an anecdote before about how this might be how we got all our different denominations. You know, if all these blind men came together and they started talking one day, and the first one said, oh, isn't it amazing how he heals you? He just touches you and you're healed. And then the other man said, that's not how he does it. You only were touched once. You're only half healed. You got to be touched twice. And then maybe the next one said, what, he just touched you guys? You didn't have any mud? Oh, you're not healed. The mud cleanses and the mud gets all the junk out of your eyes and just makes it crystal clear. You guys probably still see blurry. You don't even know what it means to see clear. And you get the point. And then you had the first four denominations. The church of the first touch, the church of the second touch, and the church of the spitters with the mud. But you see, we need to realize that Jesus can work however he wants, and your experience might not be my experience, but we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. step and see. Notice what Jesus said here. Notice the order. Jesus said, He made the mud. He put the mud on his eyes. And then the man was not healed yet, was he? Jesus did the work he was going to do, and then it was up to the man, wasn't it? To obey. Jesus put the mud on there, and then he said, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So, it was up to the man. He had a choice. It was time for him to step out on faith. He wasn't healed yet, but it was up to him whether he believed that Jesus would heal him. Obviously, he did. He believed he was going to be healed. Jesus said it. He took him at his word. He said, all right. He stepped out in faith, and he walked to that pool of Siloam, which meant sent. He was sent there by Jesus, and then he washed, and then he saw. But it was up to him to take action, wasn't it? It was up to him to obey. A lot of times God operates like that, doesn't he? Step and see. Much of the time, that's God's order in our lives. That seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. Many times, God will ask you to do this. Let you know, here's what I'm going to do, but you go and do this. Here's the next step. Sometimes we search and search and search for God's will, and yet He's already told us the next baby step to take, and that's all we got to do, and we won't do it. We're not even going to take that baby step. We want the whole enchilada all at once, and maybe He's just saying, you haven't obeyed that next little thing. That's all a part of seeing Him work. I like this order of prayer. Believe, receive, and achieve. Think about that. Believe God. Believe His promise. Pray about it. Call to Him. Whatever that promise is in Scripture that you're clinging to. You call to Him and you say, God, here's what You've promised. Here's what You've told me in my spirit, Lord. I receive it. I receive what You're saying to me. But then many times, then it's time to achieve it. He'll tell you to step, to go, to take action. And sometimes that's where we fall short, and then we don't see what God's going to do. So step and see. If I'll keep my eyes on Jesus, I'll work while I can, I'll step and see. And next, here's a question to ask yourself. Has Jesus changed me? Has Jesus changed me? Ask yourself that question. Think about that. Has He changed me? You think about your past when you think about that. But then also think about, is He changing me right now? Is He changing my life? Look at verse 8 and 9. There's great evidence that Jesus changes us. In verse 8 and 9, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen Him begging asked, isn't this the same man that used to sit and beg? Some claimed that He was. Others said, no, He only looks like him. But He Himself insisted, I am the man. The people saw a change here. They didn't even recognize Him anymore. Once Jesus got a hold of Him, once Jesus touched Him and healed Him, the people weren't even sure, is that Him? Isn't that the man? He used to sit there and beg. No, he just looks like Him. They didn't even recognize Him because why? Jesus had changed him. Has Jesus changed you? Has Jesus changed me? Have others noticed? Have you noticed yourself? And better yet, maybe there was a time in your past you saw Him working in your life in a big way and He was changing you and you knew it and it was obvious to everybody around you. Maybe that's your case, I don't know. But maybe it's a gradual change. Maybe it's more subtle. From year to year, He's been changing you and you know it. You're becoming more and more like Christ. But the question for today is He changing you right now? That's His plan. That's His will. That's what He wants to do. We got to participate. We got to see and believe and we got to step and see and follow Him. But He'll be changing us. We're not going to look like we do today, on down the road. Jesus is always changing us, and people will notice it. And you know, this tells me that we need to be honest about our changes. Sometimes in verse 9, some claim that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. I am the man. Well, I know in my own life, back, you know, maybe people that I knew when I was 22 and 21 and 20. And sometimes, every now and then I'll run into somebody like that. But I know back then, they wouldn't recognize me. I'm not doing the things I was back then. And I need to be honest about that. I need to say, you know, I was that man. That was me. Because what it is it's a testimony that Jesus is real. That he changes lives. And I don't always share those stories. I don't always share my testimony. I don't always share that I used to drink quite a bit. I'm not proud of that. But you know what? I need to be honest about it because it shows the power of Jesus. Because I couldn't change myself at all. I tried that and that didn't work. He had to change me. But then it shows his power. And when we're honest about where we've been and what Jesus has changed in us, or what he's doing right now, what we're struggling with, and how he's changed us, or how he's changing us right now, when we're honest, and we say, yeah, that's me, I'm that old guy, but Jesus is doing a work in me, then people get to see the power. When we hide it, then they miss out. Has he changed me? Next, how has he changed me? How has Jesus changed me? That's a great question to consider. They asked the man, well, how did he change you? They wanted to hear the story. Well, he told me to put the mud on my eyes. He just told what Jesus did for him. Well, maybe Jesus has changed you in your life. You need to think about that. You need to give it some thought and say, Lord, let me remember back if it was a while ago. Lord, how did you change me? What did you do? And remember that. Commit that to memory. Share that with people. Here's how he changed me. I remember he was telling me at this time to do this, and I did this. Or how's he changing you right now? Pay attention. Pay attention to the steps that he's telling you. Pay attention to the Bible studies you read, the devotional you have, where he speaks a little word. And then you go to Sunday school, and you hear the teacher teach. And then the teacher shares a word. And then you see how that one fit with the last one. And then you go to a worship service and then a song is sung. And then God speaks that to you and it all fits together and it tells you what to do. And you see God's plan and pay attention to how he's changing. So you can share that with people. Here's what God did. He did this and this and this. Why? What does that do? What does that do to the non-believers? Look at these people that he's talking to. They're stumped. Well, you know, he did all that. And then, after how has he changed you, we need to say this. I'll help you find him. I'll tell you how he's changing me, how he's changed me, and I'll help you find him. You see, in this passage, in verse 12, well, let's back up to verse 11. He replied, the man they called Jesus, here he is telling how did Jesus change him? The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Well, that's our job. That's our next job. We need to help everybody around us, starting with our own family members and moving way out beyond. We need to help everybody with this one. I'll help you find him. Because that's a question that a lot of people are asking. They might not know that the answer is Jesus, but they're looking for something. They're turning to alcohol, or they're turning to drugs, or they're turning to relationships, or they're turning to men or women. Turning to all kinds, or wealth, or the climbing the corporate ladder. People are looking for this answer in all kinds of places. But you know the answer. They don't. You have the answer. Help them. I'll help you find him. Let that be your next statement. I'll help you find him. Where is he? And when they see what he's doing in your life and they see the changes that he's making in your life, that's going to be a question a lot of people have. Well, where is he? How do I get him? How do I get him? Well, finally, remember this. Let this be your next statement. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. He said that let's skip over a little bit. In verse 35, this man has been sharing about Jesus, sharing what Jesus did to him, sharing how Jesus changed him, helping the other people to find Jesus. People are curious. And notice one other thing. There'll always be division. You'll share Jesus. You'll share what he's doing in your life. And notice that the crowd was divided. There will always be a group that says, oh, you're ridiculous. They'll make you feel bad. There'll always be a group that won't like it. They won't like a thing that you're saying about Jesus. But don't be afraid like his parents were, that you'll be thrown out of the synagogue. Be bold. Just lift up Jesus. Just lift up his name. Take what's coming. Pray for strength. But there'll always be that crowd. There'll always be the ones that don't believe, no matter what you say, no matter what he's done in your life, and you're sharing straight from your heart. They won't accept it. But you got to share it for the many that will accept it, for them to hear, and they will accept it. And then remember, he's always with you, and he'll never leave you. Look at verse 35. This man had been standing for Jesus, and he was pretty bold. He stood up to the religious leaders of that day, knowing he could be thrown out of the synagogue. And in verse 30, then he was thrown out of the synagogue. Then in verse 35, and that's where they got a lot of their livelihood. That was a lot of the central place to go, was to be a part of the temple or the synagogue. And look what happened here in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him, and in fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. It turned out great for this guy. He got thrown out of the synagogue, but he realized he'll never leave you. As soon as you're thrown out, wherever it is, whatever it is, look who comes to your aid. Look who comes to get you when you're thrown out. You can't beat that. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask that you would apply it to our hearts, Lord. Show us the things to do that we may obey you as we leave this place. Lord, help us to work while we can, knowing that night is coming. Lord, there's a time coming. Our life is either going to end or you're coming back. But we only have a certain amount of moments, and we don't know how many we have. So help us to work while we can, to do your work. Help us to step and see, to live by faith and not by sight. Step out and do whatever you tell us to do, to take action, and then realize that that's when we'll see all your miracles. That's when we'll see your glory. Lord, help us to notice the changes that you're making in our lives, that we may be sharing those with people all around us, that they can see you. Let us pay attention to how you change us so we can share that. And Lord, as we share these things, let us help people to find you. Let us point people to you, Jesus, constantly and continually. Let us live to lift up your name, Jesus, because you've said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." Let us share what you're doing in our lives and point people to you. Help them to find you. Bring them here. Bring them to Bible studies. Share your words, Lord, whatever you tell us. Help us to be bold. And we thank you that no matter what happens, even if we're thrown out, Lord, that's when we really get to sense your presence. Then you'll come right alongside of us. We thank you that you'll never leave us. whatever decisions need to be made tonight, Lord, I pray that as we join in this circle, Lord, if there's anything that anyone here needs to share, Lord, with our group, a decision or just a word of encouragement or something that you're calling them or telling them through this message, Lord, may we share it together and most of all, just do your will. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.